I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
A few days ago, the U.S. hit a major milestone. In a quite ceremonial-sounding press release, the Transportation Security Administration announced that on Sunday, for the first time since its founding more than 20 years ago, more than 3 million travelers were screened on a single day at airports across the country. And while I was not in an airport this past Sunday, I do feel a shared kinship with these 3 million people because I've been doing a lot of traveling this summer for work, to see family, that sort of thing. And like everybody else, I'm also slumming it through airport security, desperately trying to find something not gross to eat for breakfast. There are so many indignities to traveling, the stuff that we all put up with to get to our destination. And then there are those moments of true travel nightmares.
Hurricane Beryl disrupting thousands of flights. Today, truly a mess. So here's a look at the current numbers. According to the website FlightAware, almost 1,000 flights are canceled in and out of Bush International in Houston. Those
weather disruptions, rerouted flights, and even turbulence. Something that just used to feel like a word on your travel bingo card now feels legitimately life-threatening. This was from a flight from Spain to Uruguay last week.
Tonight, terrifying turbulence rocking a packed international flight, injuring at least 30 people. Video showing a passenger apparently stuck in the ceiling of the aircraft, his feet dangling over the aisle. You see the badly damaged, blood-stained cabin, a seat destroyed, and holes where passengers slammed into the ceiling.
And it feels like our fellow travelers are losing their minds.
Shocking new video of a brawl erupting on board a Southwest Airlines flight. Fist flying as a fight breaks out between two men on this plane before it took off from Dallas to Phoenix Monday.
And yet, even with all that, we really love to travel. And we're paying a lot of money for the privilege of leaving our homes to see new places. So how can we minimize the bad stuff and still hold on to the romantic, life-changing, magical things about traveling?
Traveling is a mess right now. We're seeing extreme weather, severe turbulence, significant delays, and because we're dealing with all of this at once, I've been looking into what's causing it and how we can deal with it.
That's Natalie Compton. She's one of the Post travel reporters, which means it's her job to help us game the tourism industrial complex. So we went directly to her for her fountain of knowledge about how we can make the most of this summer travel season. From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Wednesday, July 10th. Today, Natalie brings us her hottest tips on how to be an efficient, savvy traveler. We talk about the reality of budget airlines, how to be a discerning booker of Airbnbs, and her advice on how to stay present on our precious vacations. We have seen a lot of reports that this summer of travel is going to be very busy. I'm not completely clear on why, because it feels like everyone thinks things are expensive right now, which in many cases they are. And also the era of YOLO travel right after kind of the peak pandemic has already passed. So like, why are people saying that this is going to be the busiest travel summer ever?
You're right. It is counterintuitive because everything in life seems expensive. But we are seeing that concept of revenge travel doesn't really seem to have slowed as much as analysts were even saying that it could have this summer.
People are still revenging.
People are revenging, and airlines have added more capacity. There are more flights going. Flights are still full. We've seen that even though a lot of travel has become expensive, you can still find deals to places. So I think if people see any inkling of a flight deal, they're jumping on it and traveling. We also know that people held off on some of their bigger trips earlier in the pandemic. Some big travel takes a year to plan. And so some of those dream trips are coming to fruition now. Mm-hmm. But Americans are driving, they're flying, they're taking cruises. Everything is packed. People are making it work no matter what.
So given what we're expecting, what is your advice for people on how to avoid the worst of that and to make traveling during this peak season a little bit more bearable?
Stay home. Just kidding. You should definitely, if you can, try to avoid the busiest places. Right now, we're seeing that classic Europe, whatever European city you're thinking of right now, when I say classic Europe, those are
Paris,
going to be
London.
Yep, yes.
Berlin.
Italy is swamped already. And so if you already have your trip planned, that's not going to help you. But if you can travel during the week, if you can travel outside when the most popular kids are off on vacation travel periods, if you can wait until the end of August, early September to go on your vacations, that's going to make it a little quieter. If you want to save yourself some headache at the airport, going in knowing that it's going to be so crowded there, bringing your own food because the line for Starbucks is going to be insane, mm-hmm. bringing your own portable charger because you're going to be sitting on the floor fighting over an outlet, going into it with that patience of everything's going to be busy, just coming in with a nice attitude, because like we've seen, people are getting frustrated and upset and crazy. Don't be one of those travelers.
And how are airlines dealing with the uptick in travelers and the fact that many travelers these days, as we talked about, no longer know how to behave in public and might be less patient or less polite or less amenable?
I think other than adding that capacity and trying to make more room for travelers, we haven't seen too many instances of airlines making things nicer for people. They are increasing bag fees. They are not necessarily leaning into the traveler experience by making it much nicer. Alaska Airlines did just reintroduce some hot meals on their flights. So that seems like,
you know, rare entity.
A move into a more nice direction. But on the whole, I would not expect airlines to be holding your hand and making it any better. We have seen that the current administration passed legislation to make airlines give you a refund quicker if their flight is canceled.
Oh, interesting. Like, what? How did that come about? How did the U.S. government score this for the American people?
This has been a mission of President Biden for a long time, and Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. They have been trying to tackle these junk fees and holding bigger businesses accountable.
Before you buy a ticket, the airline ought to tell you all the costs that are associated with that. What kind of change fees, cancel fees, baggage fees, et cetera, are attached to that ticket. We're especially concerned about these bait and switch situations where they say, hey, airfare is half off, but you go to book the ticket and it turns out a whole bunch of things that are part of the price of the ticket, they don't count as airfare and they're not half off.
A new set of legislation that was passed but won't come into effect until later this year is that airlines must give you a refund if they cancel your flight. It can't be this, oh, do you want a refund or do you want a credit? They have to offer you that refund when they have a significant delay of 3 hours if it's a domestic trip or 6 hours if it's international. So there are ways that airlines are being forced to be kinder to travelers, but I wouldn't say.
And does that work even if it's a weather delay? Because I feel like a lot of the times the airlines are like, well, it was the weather. We had no control. So what are we to do about this?
And they're not wrong, but it is if your flight is significantly delayed 3 hours, they have to pay up.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Which before it was you could get a credit. That credit might expire, and a lot of Americans were out of a lot of money. So now they are offering a cash refund, which will be huge. But like I said, it doesn't go into effect until later this year. So it won't help you for summer travel, but it is nice that airlines are going to be moving in that direction.
And what are other ways that you can save some money, get some money back, or just like be a little bit more conscious about money as you're trying to travel and looking at flights and like seeing bonkers flight prices?
My number one tip, and I will put this on my tombstone so people remember it far after I'm gone, set up price alerts.
Huh.
Wherever you are planning on traveling, if you have specific dates in mind or you have a specific destination in mind, but you're flexible on dates, go on to Google Flights or Skyscanner.com, or there are a number of other websites that do this. Plug in that information and let the internet do the work for you. You will get an email that says, your flight to Trinidad is $200 cheaper today than it was yesterday. Book now. Or there are windows for the month of March through September that you can find this cheaper flight to Ireland. And you can save hundreds of dollars this way. You can also get insight from Google Flights that say, this is a higher rate than you should be booking. Like, don't book your flight today. So if you're not checking those flight alerts and comparing what our flight price is looking like today, you could be out a lot of money. So easiest tip, takes minutes to do. Couldn't recommend it enough. If there's still room on my tombstone, I would like to plug one more travel thing for everybody to download and do. Mobile passport control. If you are traveling internationally this summer or ever, there is a free app that is essentially an even faster version of Global Entry. And for whatever reason, there are ads for this. You see signs for it at the airport, but no one is using it. So when I came back from Paris, it took me 8 minutes, because I timed it, to go from the airplane to being outside in fresh air, hailing my Uber. It is quick to download. Even if you forgot to do it before your trip, download Mobile Passport Control from Customs and Border Patrol. You take a selfie, you input a couple things, you skip all of the lines. So fast. It's so amazing. And yet people seem to be afraid of it or don't know about it. So this is my begging the traveling public, get out of line and download Mobile Passport Control.
That is so smart. Thank you for that. I think the one other part of saving money on flights that I've been curious about recently is economy airlines. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there are more of these, like, it almost feels like the, like, airlines have headed in two different directions. Mm-hmm. Like, there are the big names that we know, and, like, the American and the Delta and United, and a lot of people take those things. But I feel like I'm seeing a lot of these airlines that I've never heard before. I went to New Haven recently and took a Velo, mm-hmm. which we got to the airport, and the person who was driving was like, where am I dropping you off? And we had to drive all the way to the end of the airport, and there was one little sign that said a Velo. How much should we be looking at these smaller airlines? Like, is there anything to be concerned about when it comes to these names that some people haven't heard of before, both here in the U.S. and even more internationally?
There are pros and cons of going with an ultra-low-cost carrier or a new kind of startup airline. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might be dazzled by low prices and think, wow, why shouldn't I take this $200 round-trip flight? Some risks are they might not have as many flights on their agenda. So if your flight is significantly delayed or canceled, you might not be able to fix your travel plans that day. You might have to wait a day, 2 days, 3 days until you can get on another flight to wherever you're going. So that's a risk. Sometimes with ultra low cost carriers, they might not have the best customer service. So it might be harder to get a refund, or it might be harder to get a flight rescheduled. But if everything goes according to plan and you just needed to get to New Haven, you could get a really good deal with some of these newcomers. I will also say that the price that you see when you first search may look one way.
It's not the price that you get at the end if you want to, you know, do something so bold as to perhaps bring a carry-on bag.
What a concept.
With you onto the plane.
And suddenly your ticket price has gone up $50, $100 because you did want that carry-on bag, even a personal item sometimes they're charging for. Mm-hmm, so it might look like the best deal, but for $50 more, you might be able to fly a quote-unquote legacy carrier that gives you more protection or is a little more flexible. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's always best to go with the cheapest flight you see out there, but for certain trips, it can make sense.
I also want to ask about something that has really struck me in the headlines of late, and this is a little bit of a different SAG. It's not about money, but more about safety. Mm. It feels like there's a lot that is out of your control, safety-wise, when it comes to being on a plane. And, you know, so many people were horrified earlier this year at the, you know, the door panel that came off the plane, and just imagining, like, what if that were you on that flight? But the thing that has really struck me is turbulence. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of headlines headlines and videos of people on planes where the turbulence has been extreme and scary and has caused injuries.
Now, a Qatar Airways flight has hit severe turbulence over Turkey, injuring 12 people. The Boeing 787 landed safely as scheduled in Dublin. But last week, a Singapore Airlines flight made an emergency landing in Bangkok after severe turbulence killed one passenger and injured dozens of others.
What is that about? And should I be worried about being on a plane these days that is actually going to have a pretty significant amount of turbulence on it?
We are absolutely seeing more turbulence. I've talked to experts who say turbulence is on the rise thanks to climate change. I spoke with a flight attendant who recently resigned. She actually left the industry partially because of injuries from severe turbulence. So a lot of airline flight attendants deal with this all the time. I will say, there is no safer way to travel than to fly. Flying is incredibly safe, and there are so many flights that go off without a hitch every day, every hour. But we are seeing more cases of severe turbulence. So that means for travelers, you're really going to want to stay in your seat with the seatbelt buckled. If you're not getting up and going to the lavatory, you're really trying to pay attention to what flight attendants are saying or pilots are saying on the overhead announcements. And
I love it when they announce on the plane, like, hey, we're stopping beverage service because we're worried about turbulence. And like, we'll let you know when we're back. And like, immediately three people get up to go to the bathroom in that moment. And it's just like, okay, if you want to be thrown around the inside of this plane when you were explicitly warned about this, like, go right ahead. Sure.
People are wacky. And without a doubt, somebody will always do that. Or you'll see somebody running back from the lavatory being like, oh, no. So just pay attention, and they are serious when they say that. But when we do see some of those more severe accidents that happen, it's because people don't have their seatbelts buckled or they're older individuals with health issues. So it's not something that I think everybody needs to be getting on a plane and being really stressed about, but turbulence will happen. So it is important to fasten your seatbelt.
After the break, I continue my conversation with Natalie, and we'll talk about accommodations, hotels versus Airbnbs, and how you can make sure to get the most out of your stay. We'll be right back.
I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
While some streaming companies keep raising their prices,
the iHeartRadio app is still free.
And free never sounded so good.
Thousands of radio stations from all over the country playing your favorite music.
500,000 podcasts.
Thousands of playlists for every mood.
Over 100 commercial-free music channels.
And over 100 million songs to fill your favorite playlist.
Download the always free iHeartRadio app and start listening now.
iHeartRadio.
So, Natalie, now I want to talk for a bit about the other part of travel, the other irritating part of travel, which can often be where you're staying and some issues that come up with your lodging. I know a lot of people have a lot of personal preferences about what kinds of places that they stay at and kinds of places that they enjoy. I have done a lot of Airbnbs in my time, and I will say that I'm steering more and more away from Airbnb life. But tell me a little bit about what you've been reporting on recently when it comes to Airbnbs and hotels and some of the issues that are coming up for people and your advice for folks who are thinking about lodging.
I got back from my honeymoon about a month ago.
Where'd you go?
Went to Paris, if you've ever heard about it.
Little known small town.
Yeah, just off the beaten path, little spot. And I booked, I wouldn't call it a full dud, but there were problems with this Airbnb that I had not anticipated. And that inspired the story on Airbnb red flags that I've made mistakes booking over my decade of travel writing. And there are so many things that can go wrong if you do not figuratively read the fine print when you're booking an Airbnb.
Wait, can you explain all this from the context of the Airbnb that you were in? Like, what went wrong for you and what were the mistakes that you made along the way?
There were some mistakes and they were my fault. So first, it was up 6 flights of stairs. No elevator.
Hmm.
I must have read that, but I was so excited by this quintessential Parisian balcony in the photos. It was a great deal. And so I was like, that sounds like a lot of stairs. I didn't fully sit down and think about what would that mean every single day when you're going in and out of this apartment.
With luggage.
Luggage, with your baguette, after a long day of wine and cheesing. But the real issue was, even though people in the reviews had mentioned that this was in a really busy, quote-unquote, working-class neighborhood where life was happening, nobody mentioned that there was an open-air meat market downstairs from the apartment and lots of open-air fish markets. And so lots of flies would come up to my picturesque Parisian balcony, making it almost unusable for half of the day. Oof. So I would say that if you are looking at Airbnb reviews, keep that in mind. What are people saying about the neighborhood? I had another issue in Beirut, Lebanon, a nightlife capital. People had mentioned there were bars in the neighborhood. They did not mention that there was a raging bar downstairs of this apartment. And that meant bone vibrating music 4 in the morning, being like, oh, I have made a big mistake.
As you're like shaking around on the
There's only so much that earplugs can do. But one that happened twice in my Airbnb career, and once even in a hotel that got me, if you do not see a picture of a window in the listing, that means there is no window in your room. You might think, oh, that sounds like a basic human need. One must have access to light. No. A place can fully not have a window. If they're not showing you a window, that means there's no window.
And you wouldn't think to look for that in photos,
no.
Right? Let's just double check that among these photos that there is, in fact, a
yes.
window or something else basic that you would assume would be there.
The same goes for beds. Mm-hmm. I have booked a place that I didn't even think to be like, there's a bed, right? There wasn't a bed. I just got there and it was just a couch. And I realized, oh, I didn't see a picture of a bed. If you don't see a picture of a thing, it is not there.
I think that speaks to why I've come to this point of being more interested in hotels than in Airbnbs. And I think part of that is the cost stuff, too, because mm-hmm. when you book on Airbnb or on many of these other, VRBO or some of the other websites of places that you're, booking from a person who takes care of this place, that there's a price that's quoted initially, and then there's the price at the end, mm-hmm. as you said, not dissimilar from airlines, mm-hmm. where there are these fees that are tacked on, and this and that, and the cleaning, and the texts, and all these things that ultimately make it like twice as expensive as it otherwise would be, and oftentimes like more expensive than a hotel room. But also, there's the question of just knowing that like basic stuff is going to be there in a certain way. And I feel like with hotels, they've gotten a bad rap of late, but that I've been finding more and more that like you go to a hotel, you know, you're getting a bed, you know, there's going to be like a person who's at a desk at any time of day or night, who's going to be like able to answer a question, or if mm-hmm. you have an issue, who's at least going to nominally be able to address it. And that's important.
Yes and no. Mm. I feel like hotels after the pandemic also dealt with a lot of issues. They had trouble staffing. They had trouble coming back and having the same housekeeping standards that they had in the past because they had to let go of staff or.
And then they stopped like wanting to house clean at all. You know,
right.
Like there were a lot of programs that hotels had where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. we're only going to come in if you tell us to come in. If you're here for 5 days, like we
right.
might just like show up once and otherwise, unless you really, really want us to show up. Or I think in some cases, like giving rewards for people who didn't want their room cleaned. It
so
was
everything
a weird time.
Changed, right. And even now, some places haven't really returned to that level of service that a lot of people expect in a hotel. And they're wondering, like, why don't I have new towels? Why don't I have my bed made? And so there can be some disappointment when people are booking hotels. There might be fewer people at that front desk because there's now more contactless check-in or different things that have been used to cut costs that make people feel more frustrated with hotels. But like you said, often it is more reliable than an Airbnb that, you know, if you book a new Airbnb that has no reviews, you have no idea what you're getting into. One word of warning for hotels is a lot of people don't realize that just because something says it's a Hilton or a Marriott, they aren't necessarily owned and operated by Hilton or Marriott. It's a franchise. And so what you were expecting because you went to one in one city might not be the same as in another city. So even if you are booking a hotel because you think this is going to be more reliable, it's still important to read those reviews and look not only at the photos on the hotel website, but review sites like Google Maps reviews or, you know, some people use TripAdvisor, looking at those user-generated photos to see, is this what I'm expecting when I'm paying this hotel rate?
That's a really good point. I also wanted to talk about one other question on lodging that you've been reporting on recently, about security cameras and the fact that in some Airbnbs, we've been seeing Airbnb owners or managers like putting in cameras secretly where people are staying and not just like outward facing cameras, but inward facing cameras. Talk about that and why that's become a point of concern.
Unfortunately, we've seen this hidden camera phenomenon in a number of destinations, from Airbnbs to there was a big case with an American Airlines flight attendant who put up allegedly a camera in the bathroom.
The former American Airlines flight attendant is accused of secretly recording or attempting to record a 14-year-old female passenger using the bathroom on a plane he was working on. The FBI says he's also alleged to have recordings of four more young female passengers using bathrooms on the planes he worked on previously.
There are restaurants that have hidden cameras discovered by patrons. So this is a growing issue that is not just impacting vacation rentals or hotels, but we do see this come up. Airbnb used to allow cameras outside and in certain parts of the house when a host said that they were there, but the problem got so bad that they banned indoor cameras in March. You can kind of empathize with some of the vacation rental owners who say, I don't trust that, you know, I keep having people say I'm only going to be two people and they bring 10 people to stay at their lodging. Or I said no dogs, you brought your dog, now I have proof. But we also see a lot of bad actors. And by a lot, I mean not anything a lot compared to the number of bookings that happen every day. But we are seeing cases of travelers catching that there is a camera in the bathroom or there is a camera in the bedroom. And when this happens, you should definitely call the police and report it to them. We see these cases go to court and people held accountable for it. But it's a very scary thing that people are noticing. You know, this is happening just the smallest fraction of a time, but it is something to watch out for if you see an obvious blinking light in your room.
Yeah, what are the signs for, like, knowing how to identify something that's supposed to be this hidden camera?
If you're seeing anything look out of the ordinary with the way that an alarm clock is pointed or a fire alarm that seems to have a weird blinking light, people have found cameras in such devices. There are a lot of more high-tech ways that people are saying that you can look for cameras. They're not all foolproof. For example, you can look on the Wi-Fi and see which connected devices there are. Does anything seem out of place? You know, are they dumb enough to say camera to bedroom? Like, maybe not. But if you are tech savvy, you might be able to do some of these more high-tech ways of looking for cameras. We have people who say you got to turn off the light and look for other flashing lights that you might not have noticed. Some people promise that apps might be able to help you find them. But really, most security experts are like, do a sweep. If you see anything looks weird, anything weird pointing at the bed, anything weird in your bathroom, check it out.
So those were all helpful warnings. So just so we leave things off on a more optimistic tone, what are you most looking forward to when it comes to your summer travels, and how can other people think about making sure that they experience joy during the sometimes stressful but still fun travel experience?
I will say that I am so excited for these trips that are coming after my honeymoon. Like I just said, I had this trip that felt like there was some kind of pressure of, this is a very special trip that you're supposed to have such an amazing time after your wedding and there's so much joy to be had and things went wrong.
There's a meat market. Fish smell and the flies.
There are pork hooves right on my way into my door. And I am excited about these trips that aren't the best trip of my life coming up. I think something that we miss in our summer vacation plans and any of our travel plans, we have these high expectations. We have to make it Instagram worthy. We have to make it worth this vacation time we're taking. And really, vacation is such a blessing of let's just relax, get away from work, go to another beautiful place. I'm going to go to my family's cabin that my great-grandpa built. It's nothing fancy, but it's just so nice to go and unwind. And anything that you can do to take time and be with family, like, it sounds very cheesy, but I'm just excited to have the bliss of not working and being in a beautiful place.
And I think connected with that is thinking about your phone and not being on your phone sometimes. I went to Turkey at the beginning of this year, which was so cool. And for a full 48 hours, I just turned my phone completely off and I let people in my life know, like, where I was staying and if they needed to contact me, like, there was a person at a desk who could come to my room and give me a message. But I think, like, using travel as an opportunity to really think about what it means to truly unplug and just and not spend your time in this expensive other country being on Instagram looking at other people's travels is the way to go.
1,000,000%. And I think that goes back to having this pressure of you have to have a perfect vacation. You have to go to the best places that were recommended. You have to still be tethered to your phone looking for the right thing to do. If you can really just unwind, talk to local people wherever you are and get a restaurant recommendation instead, that is going to be its own adventure and nice thing. So yeah, put the phone away. That's a great tip.
Natalie, thank you so much for all of this.
Thank you.
Natalie Compton is a travel reporter for The Post. And one other bit of relevant travel news. If you are thinking about going to Barcelona in the coming weeks, you might want to reconsider. This past weekend, almost 3,000 people flooded the streets in Barcelona to protest over tourism. These protesters say that tourism has inflated the cost of living in Barcelona and that revenue from visitors hasn't been fairly distributed across the city. They carried signs reading, "Tourists go home." And some carried squirt guns, spraying water at people who looked like tourists. The organizers who led the protests also published a manifesto. They're demanding restrictions on tourist accommodations, fewer cruise terminals in Barcelona's port, and an end to using public money to fund tourism advertisements. On another more somber note, I've also been following some recent news coming out of Russia. On Tuesday, a Russian court ordered the arrest of Yulia Navalnaya. She's the widow of the late opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who died in an Arctic prison in February.
3 days назад Владимир Путин убил моего мужа Алексея Навального. Путин убил отца моих детей. Путин отнял самое.
This is Navalnaya back in February after her husband's death, accusing Russian President Vladimir Putin of murdering him, which the Russian government denies. Now, a Russian court has accused Navalnaya of participating in an extremist group, referring to her husband's political and anti-corruption organization. It's unlikely that she'd be arrested, since she no longer lives in Russia and hasn't returned to the country since her husband died. But this arrest order demonstrates the Kremlin's continuing focus on Navalny, who remains Putin's nemesis and most formidable opponent even months after his death. That's it for Post Reports. Thanks so much for listening. If you're looking for the latest updates on the big news of the day, check out our morning news briefing, The 7. We bring you through the 7 stories that you need to know about every weekday morning by 7 a.m. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. Today's episode was produced by Sabi Robinson and edited by Ariel Plotnick. It was mixed by Sean Carter. Thank you also to Gabe Hyatt. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.
No matter what you're a fan of, Texas has the trip for you. There's the trip to Texas and the trip. Or maybe you're the kind of fan who'd prefer a trip to Texas or a trip.
Either way, go to TravelTexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.